Come on in, guys.
Welcome back to Talking Llama. Matt and Jared here. And Jared, before we get into all of the quote unquote action from this week, do you know what this episode represents for us, for our show, for Talking Llama?
Say like 50? 50 episodes?
Double it. This is episode 100 for us, Jared.
There's no way.
Episode 100. This is our sixth season, and we started off with ranking every season of the first 40. We did two episodes of the Brant Steel and an episode of casting the Brant Steel before that.
Wow.
100.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when you're doing things consistently at the same time. But yeah, 100 episodes. That's no small thing.
No. You know, well, we're not afraid to pat ourselves.
Something to celebrate, at least, this week.
Yeah. Yep.
Although, because it's a big occasion for us, I'm going to try to look on the positive side. So, Banu is gone. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's not the Banu show going forward, we don't really know what else the cast has to offer.
No. Like,
there hasn't been a ton of interesting stuff on the Flash that we have had. There have been some pieces here and there, but it's been so focused on Banu, and with Yanu losing every immunity challenge, it kind of has to be. It's not a completely clean slate, but it's kind of in that general realm.
Yeah, I mean, worst case is Yanu keeps losing, and then it's like, we still just get the same thing, but without Banu.
At least there would be intrigue there, because there's Tiffany's in the middle. She's tight with both. She has an idol. Both, yep. Kenzie and Q probably think Tiffany's going to side with them. Yep. Would hope she would be. So there'd at least be an interesting dynamic for the vote.
Yeah.
And it would be something new. It wouldn't just be Banu crying for 25 minutes after the challenge.
Yeah, I'll give you that. The uncertainty. The one thing we know is that Banu won't be there, and that means that we don't really know what the show will be like. It's kind of weird situation. Although I would, of all the things we're going to get, I think we could probably rule out athleticism.
I couldn't help but think of you when that part came on, and like, that's the kind of thing where in a regular season would be a fun moment, because everyone who goes on Survivor typically, not everyone, but the majority of people, say season 1 through 40, they were average athleticism. Obviously, there's, you know, one or two, three standard deviations either way on any given season. But for the most part, people could do the basic things. Run, jump, throw, unless you're War Dog.
Swim.
You know, that you can do it in a way that makes it look like you've been outside before.
Yes.
And in these new era seasons, the casting, the different personality types has coincided with casting a lot less physical players, a lot less athletic players. And this might be the peak or the valley, depending on how you want to describe it. Mm-hmm. Mariah saying, don't know how to jump.
Yeah.
What an absurd statement. Uh-huh. Like, you might not be able to jump very high. But like, I don't know how to jump. The phrasing is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have so many thoughts on this. I feel like we should maybe wait until
We actually get
he
there.
get. But I mean, definitely this will be revisited.
Okay. All right. We'll keep our listeners in anticipation here. But first, when we start with Yanu, because they lost, obviously, they're still ecstatic over the medevac, as one is when other player is in medical danger, if you will. You get happy about it and it saves you.
I mean, I
And
actually like that. I like, yeah, you can act somber that like the person had to go home, that Randon had to go home because he was medevaced, but like I feel like this is actually more genuine that they're just like unashamed celebrating, like we don't have to go to tribal council because it's what we're all thinking.
I was very worried that when they went to the challenge, that the other tribe would like someone would start crying when they saw Randon was medevaced, and I was like preparing what I was gonna say to just rip into them. This person you don't know who's been in the game for 8 days, but thankfully they at least missed my expectations in a good way on that front. But I was right. I was certain it was gonna happen.
Yeah, no, instead they showed up and Jeff announced that Randon was medevaced and therefore no one from Yanu went home, which was met with applause from everyone.
That part was wild. It's
What,
like
like,
I do kind of appreciate how everyone is just making Yanu the pity tribe. Like anytime they don't just get shat on completely, they're like, oh, good for them.
yeah, they're no worse off than they were.
Well, they might be because Banu decided to reveal that he
Yeah,
revealed everything at the journey. And any sympathy the other three had for him is just out the window at this point. There's like, yep, Bonner's got to go. Even Q, who tries coaching later, we'll get into that because that was incredible.
Oh man. I'll save my thoughts for that too. Banu spilling the beans to everyone. Like, it's so funny that like it's just part of his personality that he can't keep anything in and he doesn't know any better, so he like reveals all the inner workings of his tribe to the other tribe, and then like, or the other tribes, two members. And then like what would be best for his game is if his own tribe doesn't know this, but because that is his personality that he can't keep anything a secret, he also blows up his own game with his own tribe by telling him this. Like, I where who is this guy?
What about then when he asked Q, did I do something wrong? It's like, yeah, dude, you did. Oh, almost everything you've done in this game has been wrong.
I literally said out loud to my TV, yes. And that's one of the things. I mean, like, he knows he did something wrong, and him asking that is just like a pity party for himself, like trying to get sympathy.
Oh, talk about pity parties. We'll get to with him and
Yeah.
Kenzie later on. That
Oh,
was
yeah.
nonsense.
She got some
Okay.
good burns in there, though, first.
Yeah. over at Sega, Jem, who had found the Beware Advantage, still waiting to find the next clue because they haven't lost immunity yet. She decides to rehide the Beware Advantage. What do you think about this? Both, how about both from like a how fun is this to watch and is this smart or stupid from a game perspective or to do?
I don't have a great answer because, like, I kind of stopped caring about everything. Like, it's a neutral thing to me. Like, because it's such a small thing in like the grand scheme of the game that like it, but it's like what they're choosing to occupy our time with on the other tribes. I guess they have to find something, but yeah, I guess I'm more curious to hear your thoughts.
As far as was it fun to watch, kind of. I do like people fruitlessly trying to do something that you know will gain them nothing. Like, that's part of some enjoyment I get out of the show. But it was, again, it was like, we've seen this play before with the fake idols and planting and all that. But from the game perspective, I don't know how much benefit this can have for her. Cause let's say, so Maria found it. And quick tangent before I get back onto it. The one thing that will be interesting is, now everyone kind of realized that it was probably fake and planted, given it said dig directly beneath, and they dug as far as they go and there was nothing. Yes. That was kind of funny.
She's like, that was the best part in that. Like, she put it there not knowing that there were going to be a ton of ants there, and she just watched everyone suffer. Like,
yeah,
when and, it was happening.
And a good bit of humor that came out of this later is that Carla, from a season or two ago, tweeted that that exact spot was where the tribe went to the bathroom. So I don't know how long human species takes completely. What's the word I'm thinking of? Compost. Whatever the scientific word is. You know what I'm trying to say, and how long that takes. But she's like, that's exactly where we
went. I mean, they're digging in the healthiest dirt on the island, probably.
But let's excuse me. Let's say Maria still thought she had the beware advantage. She goes to tribal council, obviously has not found the idol. She thinks she doesn't have a vote, but she does have a vote. At that point, would production step in and say, Maria, because you can't opt out of voting. Yeah. You can't just say, I'm not going to vote tonight. Would they step in at that point and say, you are able to vote, you have to vote? I would hope they would.
Yeah, they would have to.
They would have to. But that was the only thing that was kind of interesting, because as far as I know, that would be a new scenario on Survivor we haven't seen yet with the beware advantage. So that could have been interesting. But from Jem's standpoint, let's say this goes through and she doesn't have the idol by the time they go to tribal council. Can she successfully keep her alliance from knowing she lost her vote? Like, what if they need her vote? What if it's like a 3-3 split and they're banking on ABC, and then she doesn't have a vote and their tribe loses somebody, or their alliance loses somebody because of her non-vote that she kept a secret? I feel like that risk is far greater than any potential reward she gets out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's so sad that, like, I haven't thought about a lot of these things. Like, all of my energy has been, like, forced into one tribe and one person.
So something to keep an eye on then. This is the result of someone on a winning tribe getting bored, that they haven't had to do anything really from a quote unquote plain survivor standpoint, that Yanu is just making it easy on them, that they feel like they have to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, like, if she did it on her own, or if they're kind of like, yeah, or maybe if they like poked her and were like, this might be interesting. I don't know.
All right, but then we get to the first reward challenge of the season, at least that we've seen, and against all odds, Yanu wins.
Of course, this is the one that they win.
They win the reward that they can't use, because they win fish. They have no way to cook it. Not a hot take at all. Just give people their flint. They lose their first immunity. They go to a tribal council. They get their flint. Don't mess with that. We don't need to rehash all the reasons why three tribes is stupid. But part of it is, when you have three tribes and you keep the flint from one, they're working at an increased deficit every single time they lose. There's a reason that we have one tribe losing way more than the other two in this current three tribe format they have. It's way better TV if people are fed even a little bit, have a little bit of energy, and makes things more balanced. Just give them their flint. Nobody's going to complain about that.
Yeah, and like no one is sitting at home loving that, like the game's hard.
Yeah,
It's like, you know what I need to see? Yeah, this is good suffering.
you can
Like, that's
still
not
make it hard on them.
right. And
They give them a bag of rice. It's not like they're giving them feasts of chicken and like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day.
no, and plus, like, they've leaned into all the advantages and twists so much. Like, it's just weird that they would be prioritizing all of that stuff, like, thinking that that's what people want to see. And then also leaning into like the survival aspect of the show. It's like, which one is it?
Yeah. One of the many problems, but we've gone over that before. We'll go over it again, so let's not spend too much time on it here. So Yanu is thrilled. Something finally broke their way. But Banu is still Banuing all over the place. And Q, credit to Q here, because he's starting to think, you know, if we were to win or whatever might happen. If Banu is going to be around, I might as well use him. And if I'm going to use him, he needs a lot of help. And so he starts like literally offering like coaching services. And I saw something great on Twitter going around. They were basically comparing his talk to the Tyson and Coach talk on Heroes versus Villains. That one is 1,000 times funnier, but it's in the same, you know, it's the same in the same arena, I think.
Yeah, I kind of drew those. It was like I made the comparison in my head when it was happening, and that's like when this stuff comes up naturally, it's kind of nice to watch, like watch someone take initiative and say like, hey, like you could be, 'cause we got that with Caleb and Emily, in a way, which was interesting too, but like
Emily actually listened. And
Yeah.
she wasn't a train wreck like Banu is. But yes, it's the same,
Yeah.
similar scenario.
Yeah, and it's getting like decreasingly interesting because like Caleb and Emily are not are not Coach and Tyson, and you and Banu are not Caleb and Emily. Like it's we're just going the wrong direction here, but yeah, I mean, shout out to all-time great moment.
No one wants to hear your stories. Nobody believes them.
Stop wearing feathers to tribal council. People think you're stupid.
That's the kind of stuff we need in Survivor, Jared.
Was and not to I shouldn't waste too much time doing this, but with that, like with Coach and Tyson, Coach was like, am I really that bad, man? Like I feel like people just don't like me, but I'm a good guy. And Tyson's like, I mean, do you want my advice? Like, I think it's probably gonna hurt a little bit. And Coach is like, it's like, yeah, tell me, like, what am I doing wrong? And Tyson, like, without wasting half a second, just goes in. Like, it wasn't like, okay, yeah. So first thing, it's like, no, he just like jumps in, he's like, you're stupid.
The funny thing about with the Q and Banu is that like Tyson's made sense. It was like, yes, you have these eccentricities that maybe rub people the wrong way. Maybe just don't do those things. Q is literally teaching Banu how to answer questions.
He's teaching Banu how not to talk.
And
Like,
then, and the Bonnie was giving practice answers that sounded like the tone of voice just sounded so robotic and fake. I mean,
yeah.
this was not meant to be comedy on from Q and Bonnie, but it was hilarious.
So unnatural.
So unnatural. And then, so he kind of gets them worked up a little bit. And then Bonnie goes to Kenzie and basically says, can you also help me? And she goes, I just need 5 minutes, and that sets him off. Like, I cannot imagine the mental strain it took living with Banu, needing that much like support and coddling 24/7. Like, because Kenzie, I don't think Kenzie did a single thing wrong there. She was like a little stern, but not in a disrespectful or aggressive way. It was just like, we just won our first challenge. I want to bask in that for a little bit, just relax for a second and just sit here and enjoy the moment, which we haven't been able to do yet. Just give me 5 minutes. And he just like slinks away into the jungle.
Yeah. At worst, it was like she gave him an unexpected tone and like directness with her answer.
Yeah. And, you know, to her credit, she realizes that from a strategic standpoint, she should apologize. I didn't get the sense that she fully meant it, and she shouldn't have because it wasn't needed. He overreacted to it. But he also just accepts it right away. Like, that's the part where I see Q, where I see where Q is coming from. It's like, he'll just do whatever I tell him to do. If I say vote for this person, he'll vote for that person, without a doubt. But the danger then is, if I tell him to vote for Kenzie, and then Kenzie says vote for Q, and they're just the Info Tribal Council, he's probably going to vote for Q. It's a classic, he'll just do whatever the last person tells him to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was something else. Let's see. I mean, over on Nami, Tevin is maybe trying to target Soda, and that also feels a little bit like with Jem, like the winning tribe just getting antsy. They haven't had to do anything yet. Like, I feel like he'd be better off working with Soda into the merge than ditching her now. At least from what we've seen, it just kind of, to me, reeks of someone who just wants to do something and they haven't had the opportunity or been forced to do anything yet.
I'm holding back a lot of things that
is it the singing?
It's just, there's, you know, I could see why he might be talking about getting rid of Soda right now. Yeah. She really just seems like a lot.
Yeah, I think she's trying very hard on the social aspect.
Uh-huh.
And to the wrong group of people that could get tiring very fast.
Uh-huh.
So I'll cap it at that.
Yeah. Right, I was really like, there's like a fine line of like criticizing someone as like a character that's on the show and just being like, I would not be able to handle this.
But this leads us to the tree mail for the immunity challenge, where we get into Mariah and her lack of jumping ability.
Mm-hmm.
Wild stuff.
Yeah, maybe I've encountered a human like this at some point, but this never came up.
The one thing I will say is that, being a short person myself, that if I were to ever go on the show, one of my biggest fears is getting one of the challenges we have to jump out and grab something. Just because of my size, I think I'd be fine.
You would be 100% fine. This is not a matter of height. This is a matter of coordination.
Yes, that's what I'm banking on. But since you can't ever really tell how far it is on when you're watching it on TV, that it'd be like the one thing that I'd be worried about. Because for like with challenges, from a personal standpoint, I could either like do them or I couldn't. Either like I can do this puzzle or I can't. I can run through this whatever or I can't. I can swim fast or I can't. But on this one, it's like, I can jump, I can grab things, but do I have like the length and the reach to do it? That would be the part that, like, no matter how hard I tried, do you remember? Cause it was Winners at War. It was Adam and Parvati and somebody else.
Yep.
And
I didn't know if it was Winners at War, if it was Adam's first season.
It was Winners at War.
Okay.
Because I'm almost certain it was Adam and Parvati.
The first season, he couldn't get under the log through the sand.
I'm sorry. I mean, that it makes sense given that he wanted an update on his mom from his brother. So, like, I totally get it. But
yeah,
just the visual on its own is hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was at Winners at War where they're trying to jump off. Because I think like they were three of them, I think, and each one was further out. So that one actually did have to go out further. but usually it's just the big horizontal line. You just have to grab one.
But yeah, and well, I will say, I think when people have that problem, it's mostly because they're jumping way too far away from the end of the platform. They're 3 feet away from the end of the platform. And like, if you would just get to the end, because some people who can't do it make sure they stand like with their toes on the end of the thing and just jump off of 2 feet, and that's their best chance of getting it. Like, it's just a miscalculation.
Yeah. But that's the one I'd want to try, because it's the only thing where like my size would be like a potentially a hindrance that you couldn't plan for. Like in that puzzle one where they're holding it up, just don't put me in the middle and like we're good.
Yeah.
But like this one, it's like that. So like that's the only thing. But then it didn't even end up mattering, because all they were doing were jumping into the water.
This is the thing I wanted to talk about. Like, yes, it just feels like such a like manufactured moment, you know, like where they're at camp and they're trying to teach her how to jump, and it's like, yeah, this is kind of funny. And then you get to the challenge and it's like, it doesn't, like, you don't have to jump.
You could run off the ledge or just step off the ledge.
Yeah. And so it just kind of seems like they were, yeah, it's like more something to show us because it's goofy and not because it's actually going to matter.
Yeah, it would have made complete sense if she had to jump off and grab something when she jumped.
Yeah, I know. They actually would have. When we got there and they showed us what the challenge looked like, I'm like, am I missing something here? Like, shouldn't there be something she has to grab?
Yep. That was an interesting, you know, 3 minutes of jump instructions.
Yeah, and the jumps, I do want to point out something about the jumps. It was like when she started thinking she got it down, like it was really strange. Her head was at most like half an inch higher up in the air, but like her feet were like a foot and a half like up in the air. It was like she just like bent her knees and took her feet off the ground for a split second, but like her head never got higher.
I want to see like an in their prime like NBA or NFL player do one of these. Like, I mean, I'm sure you saw the game saving block Anthony Edwards had like a week or so ago.
No, I saw the dunk. I didn't see the block.
Oh my, this is better than the dunk.
Okay.
It's insane. Like he said after the game, he thinks it's the highest he's jumped in his life.
Interesting.
It's an incredible clip.
But yeah.
Watching like a 22-year-old just the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of athleticism in the world just launching himself off a platform. It'd be fun to see.
Like an AJ Brown.
Or in his prime Randy Moss. Like just somebody. And just to see, because like even on the platform on this one, Hunter almost jumped to the platform.
Yeah,
and he's just some guy.
Yeah, no, I'm like really like I'm shoulders deep in Michael Jordan, like highlight videos and like stat comparisons and stuff. And he's like 6'6", and like when he was finishing up, I don't know what year it was in college. His coaches timed him at a 4.38 40, and he has a 48-inch vertical. Like, that's illegal.
That's nonsense. I mean, he was obviously, I mean, he's just absurd.
The greatest team sports athlete of all time, but like, yeah, that may, so maybe we don't want to reach that high, but I mean, there's plenty of people we could throw out there, and yeah, this, it would look comical.
Okay, I don't know if this is how confirmed this is, but Bo Jackson supposedly ran a 4.13 40.
That seems like maybe a pre like automated era timed 40.
I don't know. If Bo Jackson did it, I would not be surprised. The man was an absolute freak.
That's true. That's true. Because I think someone this year ran a 4.21.
Something like that. It was the fastest ever. Oh, I'm reading this Raiders.com. There was one problem with that. It never happened. Okay. Well, there goes that.
I guess that solves that.
The whole article on it, which I won't fully read, but not now at least. Okay, whatever. Good tangent there.
Stark contrast.
And if you want a starker contrast, Banu, when he goes, he misses a step in the challenge. You had to climb up a tower, jump into the ocean, swim to a crate, jump back into the ocean, then release some buoys. He just skips the crate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that does make it faster.
And it's just like, of course, if anyone in this game is going to just literally skip a step, of course it's Bonnie. Why not?
Yeah, this goes back to the not following directions very well thing.
Yep. And then get to the buoys. They have to shoot in the baskets. And Hunter, who is apparently the Michael Jordan of this season, just cannot do anything wrong in challenge. I think it's actually, because we've talked a bunch about how people aren't necessarily good at challenges. It's not just he's better than the rest. He's just actually good.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone like that. Yeah. Good challenge player.
Good challenge player. And as we know, Banu went. Yanu loses once again. They got close. They were down to their last basket.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we get to some very, to me and I'm assuming you, uninteresting Survivor. And a brief moment of some very uncomfortable Survivor.
Yeah. Yep.
So basically just Kenzie, Q, and Tiffany all say, it's going to be Banu. And Banu has no vote, which they know. So there's going to be really no two ways about it. And Banu starts cursing God for even putting him on the island in the first place, right in front of Kenzie. That was pretty funny that he did it with her just standing there. But that moment felt very forced.
Yeah. Like
from Banu.
Yeah, that was, I mean, we're in the same Facebook group. I feel like I've seen a lot of stuff about just his acting background, and that is probably one of those things, just going over the top.
Oh, speaking of going over the top, I'm thinking of it. What did you think of Charlie jumping off the platform and just yelling Taylor Swift?
That's his personality. Is he's a Taylor Swift fan. That's his personality.
Yeah, it's, so. I mean, I love Taylor Swift, but that was so stupid.
Like, yeah.
It has nothing to do. There's no correlation with her to the challenge. It's not like she has a challenge called or a song called Crate Jump or Ocean Jump or anything like that. There's not even a tiniest thread. It's just, think of you just jumping off yelling, DraftKings, best ball championship. It's like, who cares?
At least I'm free advertising. Yeah, it was, I mean, that's what he has to offer for the season. He gave us a bunch of Taylor Swift songs, and then he yelled Taylor Swift in a challenge. That's his contribution.
I think he could be interesting, but I think he's hamstrung as the Taylor Swift guy. That
by his own choosing.
By his own choosing. And by the show, because now the show is just going to show that anytime. They're going to focus on that versus anything else he might be doing, I feel like. But back to Banu. At one point, he literally gets on his knees and begs Tiffany to help him. And this, I started to like squirm a little bit. I was like, this is just ridiculous.
Yep.
Huge. Tiffany might be my favorite player in the season now just for how she handled that. Just saying, get up off your knees. I'm not going to talk to you if you're on your knees.
Yeah, she's one bright spot, and otherwise lackluster cast. She's been pretty quality entertainment throughout.
And Kenzie too, because earlier when they're talking about just how ill-equipped Banu is for the show, she goes, "If you wanted to do this, just go camping."
I know, that was one of my favorite lines. Why is he here?
I can't believe. Actually, I can believe how he got cast because this is the type of person that Probst wants on the show. But I think, excluding, you know, like the actual like degenerate people, you know, Scoopin and anyone like that, excluding those people, whoever else you want to include in that, I think he might be the worst casting choice the show's ever had.
I would argue that you would argue there was a different choice. If I put Banu up against Big Wendy, which one would you rather have?
Oh. That's a good one. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
They're like very similar in a lot of ways, but also different because like Wendy just like straight up didn't care about the game at all. And Banu like doesn't know enough about the game to care about it. Like he cares about it, but he doesn't know how to play it.
I would say Banu is worse because he lacked the capability to play the game. I think Wendy just chose not to, which was all sorts of annoying for their own reasons. But I think if she had decided to focus on the game versus freeing the chickens, she at least, like, Banu didn't do anything except complain and, like, be sad.
Yeah.
And I think that was going to be his game no matter what. Wendy at least had the capacity, if she had chosen to do something.
Yeah,
it's not like a distinction of honor, but it's enough to put her, in my mind, above Banu in this particular discussion.
I think there's a point that she could have gotten to. Like, let's say she accidentally makes it to, like, final six. Like, there's, like, a point where she would really start trying, I feel like.
The thing about Banu is that he's seen every season of the show, and he still has
allegedly,
no idea how to play the game.
Allegedly has seen every season.
I'm just going to believe him on that. Also, it's funny.
How can you? I mean, I don't know how you could believe him based on this. Like, he has no idea what the game even is.
I'm trying to think if he's done or said anything that was enough of a reference versus just some broad stroke thing that anyone could look up.
I can't remember a single insider reference that he made. Like, maybe I just ignored most of what he said. So,
I mean, most of what he said was just praying to God or complaining
or
about
yelling
no one talking
at God
to him or yelling at God in this episode. Yeah, I can't think of anything specific, but either way, like, once again, here's the beginning of our Australian Survivor comparison. They cast players who don't know the game, and they adapt. They figure it out on the fly. There's someone on the season you'll watch next who's never seen the show before. He has no idea what the game's about, and he becomes he's kind of a douche, but in an entertaining way. He comes up with some creative avenues because he just sees the game differently. He just adapts on the fly, and Banu just sits there doing nothing. Like, you don't have to be a super fan to be a good or interesting player in this game.
Yeah, you just have to have like street smarts and people skills.
Yeah.
So
and have like a little bit of creative thinking.
Yep. Yep. No, that was the one other thing I was going to mention is that like he prays to God for a miracle the episode before and like out of nowhere just gets it. Like his biggest wish is granted, and then like 2 days later he's like, "How could you do this to me?" It's like, this is That is so ridiculous. Like, you got one of the luckiest breaks anyone could get. And like 2 days later, it's just like unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Survivor Twitter is an interesting place, but when that happened, there were some great tweets about like that exact juxtaposition.
Yeah, okay, I didn't see those. But yeah, just like, man, that is someone who there's like some deeper issues there when like something like dramatically goes your way and then like an expected thing happens that's not good for you and you just like can't handle it. Like, how, I mean, his story is that he's had a very hard life, but this is like the exact opposite of that. Like, you just get gifted like a couple extra days there and you don't appreciate it at all. Like, you complain. I mean, I don't know what to make of him. I'm glad that we're gonna not be talking about him.
Yes.
By next week.
Also, mentioning the hard life that gets us to tribal council. Who cares? Like, it's inspiring that they made it through that, but that's what everyone has on the show now.
Yeah, they won't cast you if you don't. But like, they wanted to like specifically give him a chance to tell his story.
Yeah, but it was that those were interesting when they were the exception to the cast.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's half the cast or more has some tearjerker story or background or upbringing. Doesn't make it unique at all. Doesn't make it any extra heartfelt to the viewers. Like, oh yeah, we see this six times every season.
Yeah. That was, I mean, pretty much wasted time.
Yep. And the tribal council, also a waste. They didn't even vote.
No.
That was infuriating.
Yeah.
You have to vote. Again, unless it's like an extreme situation like Varner, where everyone's just like, you crossed all sorts of lines, just get the hell out of here. Or somebody quits. You have to vote. Because even though all three said, verbalized, yeah, we're going to vote Banu, let's just say Kenzie and Q wanted to blindside Tiffany. She has an idol. Of course you're going to say that. You have to let it play out. Now, since we are recording a day late, I did listen to Rob Cisternino's podcast with Fishback today. And I guess he mentioned in one of the Probst interviews that they had gone through, you know, all the footage of camp and the confessionals and everything. And even in the confessionals, the three of them were all saying, it's going to be Banu, it's going to be Banu, it's going to be Banu. So they had that to stand on, but still, like, makes it a little bit better, but you've got to vote. You have to vote.
Yep. I mean, it's literally the sole defining element of the game.
Yes. And in Probst's interview with Dalton Ross at EW, he said it allowed Banu to go out on his terms. That's not the game.
Did he quit?
The game is to go out on the other player's terms. That's the whole point of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably go and just tell Jeff, like, I'm like, the only circumstances I will leave is if I'm top three or better. Those are my terms. And I'm just going to, I have to go out on my terms.
Yeah. So Probst is getting way too soft, as has been evidenced over and over again.
Yeah, like, and this is like a weird soft spot specifically for Banu, because he wasn't just like asking Banu to tell his story. He was like asking him questions. Like, he's like, and where did you grow up? Like, yeah.
That's when he literally asked, what is it like to be poor in India?
It's like, dude. Come on. I don't know. Shitty? Like, good question.
How is it to be poor anywhere? Like, that question. I mean, you know, Jeff was like, oh, this is my moment.
Yeah. Very sensitive, thoughtful Jeff came out there. We all needed it.
All right. Well, the Banu disaster is done. And hopefully the game opens up now and something interesting and actually survivor centric will happen and not just some guy begging for mercy without doing anything to earn mercy or support or anything. And we'll get something fun. You know, that's the hope I'm holding out for, that he took up and commanded so much of the airtime through the first four episodes, which is 4 out of 13, which is a crime. That's a third of the season was devoted to this. But there's still 2/3 left. With him gone, you never know. I'm gonna say positive. Or try to, at least.
My gosh. I was done after the first episode. I said Survivor was over, and this is like, you just knew, like, seeing this group of people there, it's just like, you can't do anything good with this. Like, it can be better than it's been, but I mean, we're a third of the way through, and there's like no signs of life.
But the one thing there is that with Yanu losing every challenge, they had to show them at camp, which kind of meant they had to show Banu. Like, they could only shift so much focus away from the tribal council tribe.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm grasping at straws here, and it's going to be bad anyway. But there's at least a slight window of hope for something to be somewhat enjoyable for the remaining stretch.
Well, yeah, and I think this is also a problem with like the smaller tribes to start off too, because like really when you're losing all the challenges, like what strategy is there to talk about? Like, you're just going to focus on the loudest person there because like you have two options.
Yeah. Or like this. Banu had no vote, no shot in the dark, no idol. Everyone hates him. He had no recourse. He had nothing to barter with or bargain for.
Yeah. And there's no one else to vote out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you like your alliance is 3, and that's like not enough for a majority to start. And then like you kind of establish those 3, and if there's less than 6 people, you're in great shape. But like, yeah, there's no, like, that is half the tribe, but like there's no one to vote out. It's hard to put that into words. Like, it was basically last time Banu or Kenzie, right? But like,
that's what they were leading us to believe.
Yeah. And it's like, there's so few people here that we have to dip into the majority to even consider someone else.
Yeah. A lot of problems, but again, my role is to be optimistic.
Yeah.
Role is to push back. That's where it's fun.
Yeah, I know. I take it way too far.
No, I like it. it'd be boring if every time we disagreed on everything.
Well, it's probably boring to tune in and hear me just say, go on the same rant every week.
Well, that's a show problem. It's not an us problem.
Well, I'll take it.
All right. Do you want to dip into any Aussie All-Stars?
I would love to.
Let's do it. Our new reality TV corner. I got a couple things to talk about as well. But let's get your Aussie All-Stars update first.
Yeah. So you told me that I got, what was it, like 8 guys right and 6 girls right?
Or I something. Believe so. Yes.
Like that. I think I got 10 guys right. I I could have counted wrong, but like, I don't think I. No, no, no. Because I missed. Let's see. I didn't have Tarzan. I didn't have Zach.
No one had Zach.
I know. Why? Like, who asked for this?
I'm trying to, for some reason, and maybe I'm making it up just to make it make sense. For some reason, I couldn't find a source list anywhere, so I could be completely wrong. For some reason, I feel like I heard somewhere he was like a last minute alternate that somebody dropped out and they needed somebody. But I could be making it up just to justify it in my own head at this point. I couldn't find a source for that anywhere, so I don't know.
Okay, because, yeah, I thought I had six or like eight total wrong, and six were girls. But because I got more than half, and they were all people that I thought would be like compelling to watch. So that's a good sign for the cast. Like,
how many episodes in are you?
I think I finished eight.
Nice.
I'm through. Yeah.
You're a third of the way and you're eight episodes in.
It's great. It's great. Some of the seasons got really long, having to get through 25 episodes, like season one and three. You kind of hit a wall in there. But when it gets to like the really good stuff, I'm glad there's more to watch. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, pretty happy with the cast overall. As far as like specifically, I'm really who do I like the most so far? I mean, David's like incredible. Like,
he is on another level in All Stars.
Yeah, he's just great to watch. I'm liking Matt Rogers a lot more this season than I did on his first season. Easily.
I liked him in this first one, but he didn't really pop at all. He really comes alive here.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just like generic, like loyalty is good, strength is good guy, like his first season. And yeah, this season he's making moves. I like him, like David. And my sleeper, I think I had her correctly guessed in this cast, but Phoebe is like one of my favorites.
You had her in there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thought she was like one of the more interesting people season one. And like specifically this season, she has like these head-to-head battles with Lydia in challenges, like really like strength and endurance based things. And she like takes her to the limit and then she eliminates her with fire at one of the tribals. And it's like, man, like this is incredible to watch. So yeah, I loving Phoebe so far. And I think the person that's made me laugh out loud the most is Shawnee.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Makes me so happy. Yeah. I was a little iffy on Shawnee her first time around. After All Stars, wherever she ends up in All Stars, I was all in on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just incredible.
Yeah. Lots of just like me sitting here by myself laughing at things that Shawnee says. They're like not like vicious, but like it's kind of like dick moves, but she's also been put in some bad spots, so warranted.
The one thing I love about All Stars personally is how much, and I won't say too much if it hasn't really come out yet, but I think it will have at least started to, how much people just are out for revenge.
It is
like,
funny.
Regardless of where their current game is at, there's like, I'm focusing on this person because they screwed me over before and I'm getting them back.
David had the most excessive revenge move that I've ever seen. It's like brilliant, but super unnecessary. Like, yeah, it was him like working with Matt, like, you know, appearing to be running different factions but working together, and like tipping him who the idol is going to get played for. So like
their team, their two something there is so good.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's like who needed Daisy out right now? Like, I don't think anyone like really was focused on that or asked for that, but Dave is like, he was just so determined, and man, he made it happen. And it was, for being like three episodes in and not really mattering a ton, it was like wildly entertaining.
Oh, good stuff. God. Yeah. Oh, for my money, there are, from where you're at through the season that just finished this week, there are no bad seasons.
I think spoiled on the winner of this.
How?
That the Tribe Has Spoken Facebook group.
Ah, tough stuff.
Yep.
Still will still be worth a watch.
Yep.
But so. I think there are no bad seasons from where you're at. Some people have said like, oh, the odd seasons aren't good, but those people also dislike All Stars, so I don't really put much weight to that.
No.
There's one season that I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it, because it has some of the absolute like worst production moments you'll ever see. And then it's balanced out by some of the absolute greatest strategic moves you'll ever see. It's insanity.
Okay.
Let's see. So you've got Brains versus Brawn, Blood versus Water. Here's Villains. Oh gosh, I'm so jealous.
Sounds like I have a lot left.
You do. You do. If I remember right, because you've got, do you care about being spoiled on themes?
No.
Okay, so you've got Brains versus Brawn, Blood versus Water.
There's like Titans versus Rebels, or
Heroes versus Villains, and Titans versus Rebels. Like, that's the other thing. Theme seasons are fun.
Yeah.
There's no reason to just do the numbers. It also makes those scenes more easier to remember. If I say Survivor 41, 42, 44, I don't necessarily remember specifics about those seasons or who was even on those seasons. But you say Survivor China, Survivor Cagayan, San Juan del Sur. Like, you know what those seasons are. You can picture the landscape. You can picture who was doing what moves happened.
Yeah.
And the dumb themes, at worst, they're nothing and they don't matter. At best, you get questions like, what does it mean to be a Titan? Who the hell knows? You made it up. Let them answer. It's fun. Then you get people who buy into it. It can only be beneficial.
Yeah. Okay. So my all-time greatest, well, it's tough because like Fans versus Favorites is a theme and Heroes versus Villains is a theme, but like just an unprovoked themed season, David versus Goliath is like, it does not get better than that.
Yeah, it's so good. There's nothing wrong with it. Just do it. But I've gotten now into two new reality shows. Although one I'm starting at the back. I did start The Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm.
I started the new season that just started last week. It's fun. I'm not really sure what the strategy is, because there's, again, I've only seen two episodes ever, so I could be in for a lot more down the road. But have you ever watched Amazing Race?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the strategy is do things faster than everyone else.
Yes. Which, do that and you'll win, It's a pretty good plan. But there's not a lot of interaction from team to team. So there's not a lot of rivalry. The one thing I do like is that you have chances to like screw the other team by just like lying to them about maybe something they missed or what's available or not available. But it's more just like a fun show. to watch. I'm enjoying it a lot through two seasons. I don't think I'll go back to watch past seasons, but I would bet I'll keep going at least for another season or two to see if I still like it. But then I also started watching Big Brother. I started back at season 6 from 2005.
Mm.
Oh, Jared, they're such dicks. I love it.
Oh,
I love it. Have you ever watched Big Brother?
No. I mean, like a random 20 minutes of an episode accidentally here or there.
Okay, but you know the general concept, right? They're all locked in a house, and then it's kind of like Survivor.
Yeah.
Broad strokes. So for their food, they get, at least in this season, they get all the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches they want. And then they have other food competitions to either earn food for the week, or they can, in the challenge, they can earn food by the day. So they might get food Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, miss Thursday, Friday, get food Saturday. It's kind of depending on the week. And you can either win food for everyone, or they split into teams and only the winning team gets the food. So there was a challenge where it was a full house challenge, and they were competing on like a game show. And so there were four panelists, and everyone else got to compete for one day of food. And it was like a fill in the blank. So it was, can't remember what the example was, but it'd be something food related. And there were going to be like three or four very obvious answers. It wasn't super hard. Like it wasn't just a huge shot in the dark. But you had to match your answer to two of the four, you know, panelists to win that day. And one of the girls was up, and one of her close alliance members had just been evicted, and his nickname was Cappy. And the level of love she has for him, I don't understand, but beside the point. But so this was a challenge where you didn't get help. Someone else being there wouldn't matter. She had asked the question, and she kind of screams, "Oh, where's Cappy?" Like as if him being there would have helped her. And then they cut to this other guy in an opposing alliance, like in a confessional. He's kind of rolls his eyes and goes, "Just say a word, dumbass." Like that. I need those people on Survivor, Jared. Yeah. I need them.
I wonder if they're still casting them on Big Brother.
I get the feeling they are, but they just finished season 25. So I'm not going to watch every season. Did some Reddit digging, got a few that are kind of consensus better seasons. This is one of them. Season 10 is going to be next. That's kind of consensus best season ever. So we'll see how it goes as the number two season. But I'm episode like 16. I'm only halfway done. Love it.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah. 40-minute episodes. It's golden, though. So there is some light here. I'm not going to give up Survivor, but I realize how fun it is to have good reality competition television.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Aussie season just finished. I won't spoil anything. Obviously, you said you got spoiled on the winner, unfortunately. Just a terrific season. A lot of great characters, a lot of good moves, interesting strategy. No gimmicks or few gimmicks, but for the most part, they let them play the game. Idols are just idols. There's no vote lost to get them. Imagine that. I can't wait for the day that you're caught up on Aussie and we can either watch live, that'd be sick, or talk about it as it goes.
Yeah, I mean it'll be by the time they air the next one.
It should be about a year from now. You're gonna rock through 4 2/3 more seasons?
In a year? Easy.
All right.
I can get through them in a month.
A month?
Yeah. 100 episodes, it's like 3-4 a day.
All right. Take a little PTO, knock out some Survivor.
Yeah.
Just build a cushion, knock out like 8 or 9 one day.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be sick. I have watched a couple of seasons all in one day before. Not Aussie, of US. Redemption Island, actually.
I mean, I approve of that because it's not necessarily one I would want to like take my time and like really enjoy.
Wait, maybe it was Nicaragua. I can't remember. It was right around there.
Oh, that's even worse.
It was one of those two.
Yeah,
it was right around here. Heroes versus Villains. I think it might have been Nicaragua, because I might have been like, I'm just on a kick of Survivor because Heroes versus Villains just ruled. Let's just go.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a Sunday. Just popped out on the couch at like 8 a.m. Just didn't move. It was sick.
Now, that sounds like every Sunday from September to January. Sit on the couch, except, don't move.
Except starting it. Well,
football. Yeah, it's an early start. Well, in London, hey, you never know.
Ugh, don't remember the London games. All right. Yeah. Well, Jared, 100 episodes in the book. Well, not got a few hundred in the books. I messed it up. 100 episodes in the books. Well, not got a couple hundred more probably before it's all said and done. What do you say?
Yeah. I mean, as long as Aussie's churning out good content.
And we've still got to get you on the South African train.
No. No.
No?
No. I can't overcommit to this. I need to keep things like compartmentalized, and this is I like where I'm at right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're gonna get you caught up on Aussie first. Then we'll get you onto South Africa.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I mean, hey, what a great episode of American Survivor for episode 100 for us.
To celebrate one of the worst casting decisions getting booted while we celebrate a triple digit milestone.
You're welcome, everyone.
But for anyone, if anyone's been there from the beginning, we are sure grateful. Because however many listens we get, we don't have that many friends that watch Survivor or want to listen to us talk about a show they don't watch. So there's definitely people out there that just like what we have to say, I guess, which is pretty cool to think about, no matter how small the following is. So we are thankful for anyone who comes back week after week, and hopefully will stick through this with us as we grind through another new era Survivor season. But I think we might start mixing in some more reality TV corners at the end of these episodes as needed, kind of play it by ear week to week. If there's another dud, might fill some more time with some Aussie talk or some 20-year-old big brother talk, some Amazing Race talk. We'll see. But to get all the fun stuff, make sure you're subscribed, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen, Twitter at Llama Talk Pod, Instagram at Talk to Llama Pod. And for Jared Sundin, this is Matt Hambidge, and we will see you next time for another Scoop of the Crispy.